Amen. Last week we started to look at our eyes. Our eyes, because we're doing the autonomy of our body and we've done the tongue and we're doing the eyes now. And it is something that really can cause us massive problems unless we're able to control our eyes. And as a teenager, I'm not going to go through that story again, but as a teenager, sometimes my eyes needed to be diverted. And there's a verse in Romans 12, verse 1, which we have been taking our series from. And let's say it together to remind ourselves why we're doing this. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy. The word therefore comes from the sense that it's all been said and done. Therefore, because God has done everything for us, he wants us now and urges us now to live for him. It's all been said and done. There's nothing more to be done. And God says, therefore, I urge you. Brothers, it's like Paul is desperately saying, come on, come on. I want you to know that Paul was a great encourager. Sometimes you read Paul and think he's not, but he is. He's a great encourager. He wants us to finish well. Isn't it great? He wants us to finish well. Because it's not how we start, it's how we finish, isn't it? It is how we finish. And Paul is encouraging us. And the reason he does is Ephesians 4, verse 16. So we'll put that up. And I'm already up, he says. Okay, so let's read Ephesians 4, 16. It's just to make sure you don't fall asleep. That's all I'm doing. To make sure you're still with me, Eliza. So, and Mary, you've gone to the back to think you can get away from me talking about you at the front. But it doesn't work. I can still see you. Just in case you thought that was what you were doing this morning. Okay, I tell you what. Let's get a prisoner. Not a prisoner, sorry, someone who works in prison to say it. Ephesians 4:16, Paul, can you do it in your Geordie accent?
Body is healthy and growing and full of...
Now, Emma, would you like the biblical interpretation of that? As each part does its own special work. In other words, as my eyes do its own special work, as my legs do my own special work, as all of our bodies, so that the whole body is what? God is seriously interested in our health. And he wants us to grow full of what? We need to understand as a family, we said we're going to come up with one positive each week, and surely it's a positive. The positive should be that as we get together here, that our whole family should be one of love. We should be really people who want to see the best in each other. Seriously. When things aren't going well, we gather around people. When things are going well, we rejoice. But when things are not, we gather around people. We are truly a real family in that sense of the word. And Paul is saying, we noticed one thing that makes vision so amazing last week was this. What makes our eyes so amazing? Oh, sorry, yes, let's go back. Let's do Matthew 6:22, because that's the reason why Jesus wants our eyes to be healthy and wholesome. So this time, let's have a proper southern one. Eunice, do it in your southern. Matthew 6:22. Your whole body will be, one little thing can create, make our body full of light. And that's our eyes, because what we see mentally goes in. Now let's do the next slide, Jonathan. What? No, you're not Jonathan. Never mind. Seeing physically involves much more than just opening our eyes. It takes two key things, we said last week. It needs our eye to see something, but then the brain needs to translate it. So we need two things. We need our brains, and we need that ability to see light, but that brain must transform that what we see into something tangible. And we said last week, if we can go to the next slide, please. If we go to the next slide, that God's Spirit must work with our minds to help us understand his word. Without this step, the light is meaningless. In other words, just like physically, we need our brains to translate that light so we see. So we need to read God's word. Read God's word, but then we need the Spirit to illuminate God's word. Because otherwise we're reading a novel. Why is it that people can read the Bible and say, this doesn't make any sense to me at all? But suddenly the light of God comes in and illuminates what you're reading. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate. Jesus said to the woman at the well, you will worship me in spirit and in truth. You need that truth of God, and the Holy Spirit is the only thing that will ignite. That's why we can worship God as followers of Jesus, because he has imparted upon us the Holy Spirit. So when I read the Word of God every morning, when I read my Word of God, I've got to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate it. It is our retina. It is just like our eyes, natural eyes need the retina. So the retina is in fact the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we said. Next one. The Holy Spirit is much like our physical retina, that it translates light into electrical signals that the brain can interpret. God's Spirit provides that interpretation. That God's Spirit provides that interpretation. That's why when you're worshiping God, sometimes God just drops a word in. Sometimes, doesn't he? Sometimes God leads you to do something different. It's that revelation and illumination of the Holy Spirit. You need it. You have it. You have it. Everyone who was a follower of Jesus has that illumination of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last week, so we're not going back in again. But that led us into doing a wonderful scripture, 2 Kings. Do you remember? We talked about Elisha and we talked about his servant. We talked about how two people looked at the same thing, but in different perspectives. Elisha's servant couldn't see anything but an army coming to him. Elisha could see not only the army coming to him, but the angels surrounding him. Both were looking at the same picture. But one could see the spiritual angels which were going to rescue Israel. The other guy could only see in the natural. And as followers of Jesus, we need to have that spiritual enlightenment. And so Elisha says, God, open up his eyes. Open up his eyes, God. In other words, he was seeing. He wasn't saying open up his eyes. He was seeing. He was saying, God, open up his spiritual eyes that he might see what I'm seeing and get heart and confidence that God is for us, not against us. Because when we look at the natural in our lives, we will crumble. We must always understand when our lives are going pear-shaped that we cannot look in the natural. We must look in the supernatural, because God has got a plan for every one of us in our lives, and God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly, more than we can think or ask. But it's never in the natural. It's always in the supernatural. And we need to have those supernatural eyes of God like Elisha had. You know, there's a famous saying, and it's this: seeing is believing. But God doesn't say that. God says believing is seeing. And two guys were walking down the road, and Jesus came alongside them. They didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, where are you going? And they had a conversation, and he says, what's been happening? And the two guys turned around and said, where have you been? We haven't got texts, and they didn't have Facebook. But he says, where have you been? Don't you know what's been happening? And Jesus said, well, tell me. He said, well, we believed in a Jesus, but he's dead. He's dead. And all our hope was in him, and they carried on walking. And then Jesus began to tell the people about why Jesus had to die. Anyway, they got to an inn, and they said to Jesus, would you like to have supper with us? And so Jesus said, yes. And they sat down, and the Bible says this: and Jesus broke the bread and opened up their eyes. And they saw the risen Jesus. They'd been looking at him all the way walking down the road. But they were looking in the natural. And Jesus had to open their eyes in the spiritual. And I want to give you another verse where believing is seeing. Jesus said to these two people, listen, the problem is you don't believe what the scriptures have been saying. Jesus had to die before he could become the Messiah that you're looking for. But you need to believe that. That's why people today can read the Bible, nothing means anything to them. You have to believe, which is the first step of seeing, which is the Word of God. Do you believe what's written in the scriptures? That's what Jesus continually says. Do I believe it? Then, if I believe it, then I need that spiritual application from God to see exactly what I'm believing. Let me tell you an example of this. Could you put it on the board, please? Lazarus is dead. And Martha runs to see Jesus as Jesus is heading. She says, Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother couldn't have died, because you would have done something about it. And what does Jesus say to Martha? He says, listen, believe me, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe me, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Do you believe this? He said, do you believe this? Mary comes out, her sister, and says exactly the same thing. If you had been here, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus says, well, I've just told your sister, but I'm going to tell you. Believe. 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 He doesn't say, don't ignore your situation. Lazarus was definitely dead. Truly, it was no good walking around saying he wasn't. He was dead. And we as Christians need to understand that in the natural we need to recognize what's going on in our lives. But what God is saying is, listen, whatever your experience in the natural does not affect the kingdom of the spiritual. Because the spiritual is believe that God is in control of your life. Believe it. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm taking you to the other side. So where was he taking them? Now come on, where was he taking them to the other side? There they were in a boat being tossed to and fro, and they said, didn't you care that we were going to die, Jesus? They shook him up, get away, okay, we're sinking. That is something we have to do, and that is we have to believe before we see. And that's what he said. Did not I say to you that if you believe, you will see the what? Do we believe there's going to be a rapture? We believe that our hope is not what we've got here. That our hope is in something far, far superior. And that I'm going to step out of this world straight into another one. I don't see it yet. Leaving is seeing. And I know it's going to happen because the Spirit of God has ignited that in my heart. And in my life. And you could not persuade me otherwise. There is nothing you could do could persuade me that there's not going to be a rapture. That I'm going to live for eternity. So get used to it. The problem is taking the word of God and believing what God has told us. Has God given you a promise? Has he given you a promise? Then you take it to the bank. You see, God gave Abraham a promise, didn't he? For 20 years, he was so faithful. And then one day his wife says, well, I'm not sure whether God did give that promise. I'll take my mistress. What a disaster that was. Ever there has been a catastrophic disaster that was. See, God says, did I not promise? Did I not say I will never leave you nor forsake you? Did I not say underneath are the everlasting arms? Did I not say that you have access into my presence for prayer 24/7? Did I not say? We need to take that word of God, which is the Logos. But the problem with the Logos, it needs the Rhema. The Logos is the written word of God. But the Rhema is that revelation spoken word of God. It's that word that said, Lazarus, come out of that grave. And Lazarus came out. The Rhema spoke. And we need to hear that spoken word of God in our lives today. Because all of us are going through stuff that we just need to hear what God has to say. But I want to say this. If God has spoken to you and promised you, man might delay your destiny. Nobody can destroy your destiny. Because if God has given you something, God will fulfill the promise to you. Sometimes believing, just taking hold of that word, is something that's all we can do. We can't even see how that word is going to turn out. And sometimes it looks as if that word is illogical. It just can't happen, God. God is saying, did I not say? Just believe. Just believe. And so there's that sense in which the road of to Emmaus was an eye-opener for two men. For Mary and Martha, for two women, it was an eye-opener to believe God and then see. And that's what Elisha asked God to do. He said, open up his spiritual eyes that he might believe what he is seeing. And to encourage us to keep our eyes, he gives us a beautiful verse in Hebrews. If we could put that up, please. The verse that you and I need to do. He says this in Hebrews 11. And then Hebrews 12. First of all, he says, when you're feeling down, I don't want you to do anything else but think about the great men and women of God. Let them inspire you. They all went through difficult times, but they believed God. They believed God so much that they died for their faith. It said Abraham believed God, although he never saw the promised land. He never saw it. But he believed that if God had said he's going to have it, he was going to. And nothing would deter him. He said, I look for that eternal city. Abraham said, God has promised me that. It's going to happen. And he says, go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11. He said, listen, the cloud of witnesses, those heroes, to encourage you, to encourage you. What about Noah? He preached for 120 years and nobody got saved, so there's hope for me. But seriously, he said, it's going to rain, Ian. And Ian was saying, you're a nutter. We've never had rain, because that's what Ian would have been. And for 120 years every day, he kicked... Oh, I like this. Ian, it's coming. The rain is coming. It's coming. 120 years, think about it. 120 years telling somebody every day it's going to rain. But he believed. He never saw it for 120 years. And then God said, go into the ark. Today is the day. Pitter-patter, 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 blush. Off he went in a boat for a year. But listen, after 90 years he could have said, whoa, this is nonsense. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. One day with God is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years with God is one day. You see, you are limited to time. God isn't. God is timeless. Believing is seeing. I'm going to send a flood, Noah. You've never seen rain, Noah. But I'm going to do it. So get your boat built. Build a boat. And he's trying to encourage you. He's trying to encourage you. Look at these heroes when you're feeling down. They struggled. Jeremiah, as I say, never saved anybody. Poor Jeremiah. Isaiah went and told everybody that there was going to be. God's told me it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It did. And for 70 years they went into Babylon. Sometimes we can't see the wood from the trees. Sometimes we are just crying out to God, where are you, God? Come on, be real with me today. Sometimes our situations get so bad we just can't see any way out. God says, listen, if you're mine, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. Trust in me. Some may trust in chariots. But seriously, this is where rubber hits the road. Who are we going to trust in? Who are we going to trust in? And so I love the way the message puts this. And we have the next one. Keep your eyes. Let's say, Emma, come on, let's. Big voice, Emma, because you've got a big voice. She has a home group. Next door neighbours knock on the door. But we haven't told her that. Emma, in your loudest voice. That exhilarating finish. What was he saying? God said to Jesus, I want you to go to earth. I want you to be spat upon. Lovely prayer, Margaret, thank you. And I want you to see you're on a cross, Jesus. And I'm going to allow people to kill you. Okay, you're going to die. And then I'm going to resurrect you. And 2,000 years, Kevin Nichols will come into your family because of what you've done. God, Jesus had to believe it. He hadn't seen it, he had to believe it. Didn't he? He had to believe that God would raise him up again after being crucified. Didn't he? He had to put all his faith in God his Father. I'm trying to get over to you this, today, that our physical eyes is not particularly just what we're seeing. It's believing God's word and allow God's word to illuminate the truth. And so Jesus said, I'll go to a cross if you're telling me that he will come to know Jesus. How do I know that? Put the next verse on, George. What he says, he shall see the travail of his soul. I believe that I will see millions of people come to know me. That'll do for me. That's what Jesus said. Isaiah 53 verse. I shall see the travail of my soul. I'll see the wounds in my hands. I'll see the wounds in my feet. I'll see that they kill me. Because one day, you can believe in. And today there's a full people here. Isn't it? Jesus looks down from heaven and he says, Father, that was all worth it. It says Jesus is our model though. If Jesus could believe God the Heavenly Father, Liesl, he's saying, I'm your model. What should you be doing? You should be believing that whatever I've got planned for you will come to fruition. Says there, who began and finished his race, born in Bethlehem, went up to heaven in the ascension. That's his beginning and his end of his race. Study how he did it. because he never lost sight of where he was going. And what did he constantly say? I have come to do the will of him who has. I have come to do the will of him who has. He never once said, listen, I've got my own agenda here, by the way. That I have come to do the will of him who sent me. And that's your calling, Lisa. Your calling now. You are to do the will of him who has sent you. And we are to fix our eyes upon Jesus. We are to get our encouragement. You see, the Bible says we are to glance at the heroes of 11. In other words, read about Abraham, Moses, Noah, Gideon and all these. Glance at those, but gaze your eyes on Jesus. There's a difference. Gaze your eyes, fix your eyes, get your eyes so securely fixed that Jesus is the person that you see. Same when we come and worship on a Sunday morning. I had a thought going on here and I just said, Lord, I'm not going to have that thought. I'm not going to allow the devil to distract my worship this morning. I'm gazing my eyes upon Jesus. I'm fixing my eyes upon who I'm worshiping this morning. And the thought went on for a few seconds, but it went. I gazed and fixed my eyes upon Jesus. This is what J. Vernon, he's a great commentator. This is what he says. In a spiritual sense, the danger is the same for us believers. He's talking about this. That when someone's lost in the extreme cold, there is a grave danger of freezing to death. The first step is that the process is to fall asleep. It's so cold, it's to fall asleep. But that is the worst thing you can do. Because if you fall asleep and you remain stationary and do nothing, you will die. The whole idea is you've got to keep moving. You've got to keep going on. You've got to try and prevent yourself from stopping asleep, from standing stationary. That's why Paul says, I want you to urge on, carry on with the race you're in. I don't want anybody to stay stationary or fall asleep because you will spiritually die. And John Vernon McGee says the same. In a spiritual sense, the danger is we have to force ourselves to stay awake and keep moving forward in our relationship with Christ. Who knows? It's difficult to keep a relationship up with Jesus. I'll be honest, it's difficult to pray every day. It's difficult to read your Bible every day. It's difficult to carry on the race that God has for us at times. But if we don't, we'll fall asleep and we'll drift. Just like the illustration of someone who was trapped in the cold. And it is a fact that in the spiritual sense, the danger is there. And that is why God said to Moses, you have been too long on this mountain. You have been too long on this mountain. You need to start going. You need to start heading on. And we need as believers to focus our eyes on Jesus every single day. Focusing our eyes upon Jesus. Keeping in the race so that we don't drift, that we don't slip. And it's so easy not to come to church one Sunday. And then you don't come to church the second Sunday. And then the third Sunday. And how often do we know it's very difficult to come on the fourth Sunday? But it is because you're at the practice. And that's what the devil wants. Well, you don't have to read your Bible today. God isn't going to punish you. No, he isn't. He isn't going to punish you if you don't read your Bible today. But then you don't read it the second day. You don't read the third day. You don't read the fourth day. And when the enemy comes along, you have nothing to hold on to. Have you? You have nothing to hold on to. So we stop praying. And the moment we start praying, we've cut our life machine off. No, God isn't going to wallop you over the head with a big stick if you don't pray to him. Broken hearted, but he's not going to wallop you over the head with a big stick. But if you stop praying, you'll die. We've got to understand that Paul is encouraging us to fix our eyes on Jesus. To do what Jesus did. And Jesus spent all night in prayer. Jesus went to church every Sunday, by the way. Read it, the Bible says. Jesus went to the synagogue as he always did. Jesus was a great lover of the church because it was his idea. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus. I don't think we will finish this off again. But I want you to read something from Jeff Lucas as we go. Temptation comes to us all, as we've seen. The lure of something we know that's wrong can be ongoing. It can nag away at us. It can wear us down. You see, Joseph had to make a decision one day. Every day this woman tried to get him into bed. Remember? Now, he had to make a decision one day. And that decision was he had to flee. Sometimes you've got to run. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you've got to run. Even means being naked. She took his coat. But he ran. He ran out naked rather than fall into temptation. Leonard Cohen has a wonderful song called Hallelujah. And it's about King David. Said David's faith was strong, but he needed proof. He saw her bathing on her roof. The beauty in the moonlight overthrew him. You see, David couldn't stop fixing his eyes on this body that he was looking at. And instead of fleeing, he fondled, didn't he? Come on. What his eyes saw, his eyes wanted. But Joseph said, no, I will not. I will not. I will not. I'm fixing my eyes upon Jesus. You know what Jeff Lucas says? But Joseph shows us that ultimately there's only one way to deal with Potiphar's wife. The time for talking, refusing, professing loyalty, even confirming that he would not sin against God had to come to an end. Because it was time just to run. It was time just to get out of that house. Even if it meant left his cloak behind, which would be later used as evidence of a false accusation. But he knew he had to run, he had to flee. And I just want to finish with this, final. I once knew a Christian leader who had a recurring problem with pornography. And so he refused to stay in any hotel room while there was a television connected with online pornography. Sadly, most hotels were offering so-called adult entertainment. And he arrived at the hotel and he said, well, I don't want that. And she said, well, the maintenance man isn't in, so we can't disconnect it. So he cut the cable himself. Cut the cable. He went down to the reception room the next day and confessed that he had cut the cable and he had paid for that replacement, for the cable to be replaced. You might think that was indeed a radical step to take. But he did what he felt was needed to ensure that he didn't surrender again to what was his addiction. And in that situation, sometimes it's time to stop talking about it, debating it, discussing it. Sometimes it's just about running. It's just about running. Fleeing the situation. Fixing our eyes upon Jesus. We haven't got time. We are going to finish this up. I just want to put this one verse in. We'll finish. And I might come back to it some other time. But it's this. Psalm 100. Can you put the next one on? Let's read that. Open up mine eyes that I might see. That I might see the wonderful things out of God's scripture. We haven't got time to talk about the Torah this morning. We may come back to that. How do I keep my eyes? I need to read God's wonderful law. Psalm 119 is our answer. It is wonderful. Wonderful things out of your law. Fix your eyes on Jesus.